Yeah, I started looking at it. I'm hoping this works because I told Peter.
Yeah.
But this used to work fine on my old iPhone. Oh. I got a new iPhone.
And it didn't work. Oh.
It doesn't work. So I downloaded a new app yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's working.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you going to say anything about, no, one second. Yeah. Are you going to say anything about that? What you were talking about before about the prediction for 20 something?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No, okay. Yeah. That's too many assumptions there.
Yeah, you're doing very well.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Just relax.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. All right. Okay. If you go, where's Peter? Peter, what is it called? Ceiling Time Ministry? It's Ceiling Time Ministry, right? If you go to ceilingtimeministry.com, they've got this poster that you can buy. I think for $10. This is not where I got this one. This is an original, but they've gotten permission from this guy. Yeah, yeah. It's here. Take a look at it. It's Ceiling Time Ministry.
Ceiling-time.
They were at GC and they were selling these, but
really?
But I've had this for 25, 30
wow.
years.
Wow, that is amazing.
This is an excellent resource. It's ceilingtimeministry.com.
I've never heard your Esther thing.
Oh, okay.
And we just got in at 5:15. So is there a way? Are you?
You haven't. You haven't. The best part's coming.
But, I mean, this is very exciting.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah. But we.
I've been studying this for
20 to 5.
Oh, that's a.
20 after 5. So.
You didn't miss much.
No.
Yeah. When did you come in?
I came in when you were talking about the 70 weeks.
That's okay. Yeah. You didn't miss much. The only thing was at the beginning because I said Vashti is like Lucifer. She was second in command. She was not subordinate to the king.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they had to decide what to do with her, and they finally kicked her out. The next thing that happened was really interesting. Because right after that, Xerxes goes to battle against the Greeks, and there's war in heaven. And Xerxes loses a third of his people. He offers
is that so?
The numbers are a little shady, so
okay.
We don't know exactly.
Okay.
But Leonidas, the guy who's fighting against, he goes to Leonidas and says, let's not have war. Let me give you the king of, well, you can be the king of Greece. He says, I'd rather die than serve you. And
who said that one?
Leonidas. That's Lucifer. And the battle of Thermopylae is the name, literally means the battle of the gates of hell. It fits perfectly. Fits perfectly.
You're so smart. And it's
no,
so
no, no, no.
But when you said that they're leading, Haman's leading Mordecai, I'm like, what are you talking about?
He's on a horse, and he's got to lead him through the streets.
I know, but what does that mean today?
That,
I don't get it.
I don't know exactly, but this is my theory, okay. That you've got two choices. You can either follow Haman, or you can follow Mordecai. And unless you're paying attention to what's going on, it says, Ellen White says that the false revival will precede the true revival.
Oh, now, because when I was like, what does that mean?
Yes, and that, and Mordecai is not saying anything.
Right.
He's not saying anything. So all you're hearing is the voice of Haman. That's my own little twist.
So you're hearing them.
Yes.
Talking about we're going to be raptured and we're going to be this and we're going to be that, but it doesn't follow them.
It doesn't follow anything.
So does Ben Carson play a little role here with Mordecai being kind of displayed?
I don't know. You know, politics is no people.
No. Yeah. Not politics, but I mean, his faith has come in. People have started looking into, you know, you hear on the internet. And people are starting,
you know, Billy Graham has saved people, but we know that Billy Graham doesn't have the truth.
That Billy Graham what?
People have come to the Adventist Church through Billy Graham.
What?
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But I mean, just God will use it. God used the mule.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, God used Balaam to bless Israel.
I'm not saying so any merit to him.
Yeah.
I'm just,
yeah.
Interesting that this.
Oh yeah. No. You're absolutely right.
You know,
things we are going to be amazed at the level that Adventism is going to be brought to. We are going to be center stage, and I don't know if we're ready for it yet. I don't know if we're ready, but it's going to be center stage. Yeah.
So again, can you tell me again the site to buy that?
Oh, ceilingtimeministry.com. I think there's a dash between ceiling and time. Ceiling Time Ministry. Put it all in there and see what happens.
I can't see. Can you see? I don't have my contact lenses, but I can't see.
Let's see that. No, it's not picking it up. Oh, you know what? Here, let's do this. Do you have Yahoo? Do you have a Yahoo search?
Yeah, that was Yahoo.
Oh, okay.
That actually was Yahoo.
Oh, okay. Let me try it again.
Okay.
Let's try it. Ceiling. Where's your dash?
I don't know. Let's see.
Oh, there it is.
Underscore. Did you want underscore? That's it. Or dash.
Dash.
There.
Perfect. Ceiling. Time. Space. Ministry. Go. That's it right there. Ceiling Time Ministry. I guess there isn't one. There isn't a dash. But let's see if I can get you right to where they're selling that.
Oh, yeah. I saw that same table in a little church up in the northwest in a little town.
Yes.
And I saw it and I was like, what is all this? You know?
Here it is. Let me just make sure. Where is it? Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go. It's coming up. No. Let's go to the top. Chart. I would just do chart.
Isn't it amazing how the more one learns the gospel and goes back and reads
you see stuff all the time.
Oh, man. She's got all these layers.
Oh, she does.
As you grow as a Christian,
oh, absolutely.
You start seeing them and go, man, she truly was inspired of God.
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I can't seem to find it on this one here.
It's okay. I'll look it up. And I'm going to take a picture of it. So that.
Yeah, hold on. Oh, here it is. This is it right here.
Oh, they just have the text. Maybe in mobile it's not.
They won't know that. You have to purchase it from them. You can't download it. But hold on. You can purchase it from them, but you can't download it from them. They'll send it to you.
Yeah,
okay. Okay, here we go.
Yeah, there's no way you can download that.
Oh, no, it's...
And besides, they have to, that's how they... No, that's how ministries function.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they have to receive money to be able to continue.
Here it is, here it is. There it is right
that's
there.
It, that's it.
It's $50. Wait, product code. It's in stock. There's different sizes, I guess. Oh, here it is. That's it right there.
Wow. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, you ready? Oh, water. Let's get water. I don't want to stand in front of anybody, so are you okay? Just be careful there. Just be careful of that plug, that's all.
Roger
blocks. All right. Maybe I'll stand here. That way I can, yeah. Am I standing in anybody's way? You got me? No, you're good. That I can't see that anything anyway, so I'm going to look up here. Okay, you want to have a word of prayer for the... You give us a word of prayer.
Okay, we're going to restart the second session.
This is the second phase. Just kidding. Go.
Peter, can I ask you this?
Oh, yes. Go. We're going to have prayer.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Dear Father in Heaven, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that gives us so much knowledge. And you've asked us to come to you and to make you our strong arm. And... we come down now asking you to continue to bless us during the second part that we will understand the message and we can share it with others. be with Roger as well as he continues to present. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Questions. This is a good time for questions. Yes.
I was wondering if it would be possible for you to present this like an afternoon session at Cutler Hall. I mean, this is great to see this crowd, but my goodness, there's about... How many more? 10 times this.
If asked, I will do it. Am I in your way?
Not at all.
Okay. You know, I did do this at Advent Hope Sabbath School in the small amphitheater right next door. I think that's where some of you may have. How many of you were there? Okay. So you heard it. Okay. All right. Any other questions about the first part? I want to make sure everyone's kind of up to speed because yes. Oh yeah, well, you can get the PowerPoint. Yeah, absolutely. I'm working on a write-up of this, but you know, I'm a scientist, so I have to make sure that every statement I have is referenced and this. I'm going through, I'm not really a scientist, but my background training is in science, so not in theology. Okay. So let's just review here. After support from Esther. And I like this because here's Esther as she's thinking about what she's going to do. Here's Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, both. Kind of parallelisms in history. After support from Mordecai and resigning to die, Esther fasted for 3 days and rose up on the third day and put on her royal robes and went into the inner chamber and lived only because of her relationship to the king. She obtained favor in his eyes and then went into the throne room of the king where she pleaded for the lives of her people against a law that could not be changed. After support from the Holy Spirit, Jesus did die and rested for 3 days and rose up on the third day, put on his royal robes and went into the holy place and lived only because of his relationship to God, the Father. He obtained favor in his eyes and then went into the throne room of the King of Kings where he pleaded for the lives of his people against a law that could not be changed. This is the picture that I wanted to show you because I think it shows you, you guys can see okay? Should I just sit down?
No.
Okay. Here is the king.
You want a chair?
Oh, no, that's okay. Here is the king. Look at these guys. They're looking towards the king. They're ready to execute protocol. Here she is, just, she doesn't know what's going to happen. And they're looking to the king, and the king is ready to raise his scepter. She is in, analogously, in the holy place. Christ in the most, God the Father in the most holy. We talked about this already. So we're going to move on. That's all review. This is for people, you know, I come back a week later. It's like, what was I talking about? This is what I was talking about. So here's the timeline of Esther. Now, this is where it's going to get a little interesting, okay? I don't want to lose people. So let's make sure that if you guys have a question or don't understand anything, make sure you ask me. So there are 12 months in the Hebrew calendar, and they're all listed here, although you can't see the names. The big one you have to know is 1 is Nisan and 12 is Adar. It's on the 13th day of the first month that Haman does the death decree. Everyone with me on that one? Okay? This is the month where Passover is. Obviously, right? Okay? Because it's the same 3 days that Christ lay in the tomb that Esther prayed and fasted, that it's the same 3 days. The next thing is the execution of that death decree was to be at the end. So stop and think about that. At the beginning is the death decree to be executed at the end. Okay? But there's another part to this that's very interesting, because after the last month, what do? You go back to the first month. Sivan 23 is when Mordecai's decree comes out, and this is to countermand the original death decree. And if you look at it, it's actually 70 days after the initial. We talked about the significance of the 70. 7 times 10, those are both very complete numbers. And also the fact that there were 70 elders that went forth, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And that's what the latter rain is intended to do. Now, months had 29 or 30 days. So they always started on a new moon. So that meant always that the 15th of the month was always a, what kind of moon?
Full moon.
Full moon, always, by definition. The 15th is always a full moon, okay? So, but the year was 11 days too short. Why is that? Because if you add up 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, 30, 29, you come up 11 days too short. So, every year, you fall 11 days behind. Eventually, you're going to be having Passover in fall, right? But that's not the way it's supposed to happen. So what they would do is they would add an extra month, We add an extra day in February. They added an extra month. It was called a leap year, but it was an extra month that was added. Now notice how it was added. Notice here that the 12th month was moved to the end, and an extra month was inserted in its place. Okay? And that extra last month was then known as the 13th month. But all of the festivities, and I'll tell you, that's where Purim was celebrated. Purim was celebrated, and Purim is the celebration of the Jews surviving this with Esther. That was always celebrated in the last month. Not the 12th. If there was an extra month, they moved it. Interestingly, think about this. How did they know if they had to add an extra month? When they got to the end of the year, and this would not be December, by the way, this would be springtime. If they didn't see any signs of spring, they would add an extra month. Think about that theologically, in terms of God's delaying his coming back. What were the signs of spring? The latter rain. If God is not seeing signs of spring, does he add an extra month? Isn't that interesting? So this is, they would look for the signs. And if they didn't see the signs, an extra month got added. So it's God's option to add one. Sometimes they added it, sometimes they didn't. But when they did do it, the last month always remained the last month. In other words, Purim is always a month before Passover. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So Purim could be the 12th or the 13th, depending on if it's a leap year or not.
Exactly, exactly. So we're going to talk about what happened, because that's exactly what Esther chapter 9 is about. It's about judgment. It's about what happened during this time. Now, I don't know in 474 BC if there was 12 months for the Jewish or if there was 13. We don't know. So Adar 1 or Adar 2. Adar 1 would be the 12th month. Adar 2 would be the 13th month. We don't know. So it's very interesting. When we look at how Esther, in the book of Esther, how the Jews were saved, you all know that when execution came time for this law to be executed, the Jews were able to defend themselves. But the way that they were to defend themselves was treated very differently. There was the Jews in Shushan, which had a wall around it, and there was the Jews in the provinces, which lived in the unwalled cities. Now notice what happens. Okay, we have Shushan and we have the provinces. And we have the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th of Adar. Of Adar.
The day. Mm-hmm.
This is the day. Okay. The date, I should say. Okay? The date. 13th, 14th, and 15th of Adar 1 or 2. I don't know which one it was, because we don't know. But watch what happens to Shushan and watch what happens to the provinces. So, on the 13th day, that is when execution was supposed to be carried out. In Shushan, they effectively defend themselves. And they actually kill 500 people. 500 people, in other words, rise up against them, and they're able to defend themselves, and those 500 people fall. Okay? Only the people who attack the Jews are killed. The Jews do no attacking. Do you understand what I'm saying? And as an addition to that, Haman's 10 sons die on that day as well. Okay? I feel like I'm blocking some people. Am I blocking you? Okay. You know what? I'm going to sit down here. No, it's okay. Let's sit down here. No, no, we're good. Okay, so.
You can get a chair and you can face them.
If you have a chair, that's fine. Okay. All right. Okay, good. Oh, can you move that? Thanks. All right, I'll sit right here. Can you guys see better now? Okay, that's better. All right.
Roger, you want to sit here facing them? Like
that? Oh, I got to see it myself. Oh. Yeah, yeah. I haven't memorized, but not that memorized. Okay. In the provinces, the Jews defend themselves as well. But because the provinces are so big, obviously this is going to be magnified. 75,000 attack the Jews, and they survive. Okay, so the king comes to Esther and says, hey, great, look, your people have defended themselves successfully. Things are great. Now, Esther is not this little orphan girl anymore. She has gone through a tremendous amount. She is a savvy politician. The king comes to her and says, what is it, Esther, that you would like to do? And she has probably the most bizarre two requests of the king. Okay? And here are the two requests. Here's the king coming to Esther. Esther, king says, up to half the kingdom, Esther, what is it that you want? And she makes this request. She says, give me one more day to defend the Jews, but in Shushan only. In Shushan only. You guys know now. See, you guys have been tuned, right? We've gone through Esther, and we know that these things mean things. So now, instead of just reading that, it's like, yeah, give me a day, and okay. What does this mean? This means this is something significant. And she says something else that's just even more bizarre. She says, take the 10 bodies, the 10 dead bodies of Haman's sons, and hang them on his own gallows again. Here's the cameo appearance of the gallows. Why would you want to hang 10 dead bodies on a gallows? That's exactly right. It's a sign. Maybe the good people would say, that this is showing you, don't mess with us. Don't mess with us. But what did the gallows represent again? The Sunday law. Okay? Interesting. Or maybe just the law. By the way, the gallows, I don't want to get too graphic here, but it wasn't a gallows that we think of. Remember, how fast did Haman erect this gallows? It was overnight. Honestly, people believe, and good research shows, that it was just a big spike in the ground. And people were hung because they were impaled on the spike. That's how they would hang people. Okay? So imagine hanging 10 people on one pole. One guy gets to go down further than the other guys. Shish kebab. Okay? Now, how do we know that? How do we know that? We'll get to how we know that because I'll give you a sneak preview. It is the only place in the Hebrew Bible where words are listed vertically on top of one another. We'll talk about this. This is where it gets amazing. Okay? So the king says, very well, queen, you get your request. So the provinces rest on the 14th. Does anyone understand why they rest on the 14th? Because Esther did not ask for an extra day. So they're done. The provinces are done. No more fighting. They celebrate. They send gifts to one another. They celebrate. And from this point on, and from this day forward, all of the people in unwalled cities celebrate Purim on the 14th. And most people live in unwalled cities, correct? This is why Purim is celebrated on the 14th. Okay? Next. And I talked to a Jewish rabbi to confirm this. On the 14th, Shushan's got to go through another day. They hang the 10 sons of Haman up on a pole. And this time, 300 people didn't get the message, apparently, come up against the Jews, and they are killed. Okay? So in between this, you've got... By the way, it's 50 cubits. 50 cubits with 10 things up and down it. What does that remind you of, Dr. Isaac? 75 feet. It's 75 feet. But this is the reason why I don't like reading anything other than the King James Version, because they always convert it into feet for me. I don't want to know that feet because I think that 50 means something. And that 50 is exactly the same 50 cubits as the width of the sanctuary. And how many staves were there at the front of the sanctuary?
10.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just wait. And then they rest on the 15th. So here I am, I'm thinking, I know that these people represent God's people in the last days, right? Is that a far-fetched? Do we know of anybody that is working while others are resting?
Yeah.
Who is still in the fight while the rest of the
dead
are resting? It is my supposition that, they rest on the 14th, Shushan rests on the 15th. To this day, people who are in walled cities, for instance, if you go to Jerusalem, they celebrate Shushan on the 15th because they're in a walled city. Okay, now, yes.
Why does Esther,
we're going to get to that. We're going to describe this. Now, here's something else that's really interesting, okay? And I think I can explain it using this methodology. Here is the regular march of the months. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, right? You get a leap year, and now it's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Now, is it possible that if you celebrate Shushan in 13, you could be celebrating it at the same time that you would have been in? So is it possible that the dates in Adar have some significance to the dates in other months of the Jewish calendar? Mm-hmm. We have good credibility for this. So in other words, what I'm saying is, and this is just one of the arguments, that the 13th, 14th, and 15th of Adar may correspond to the 13th, 14th, and 15th of? Adar, Nisan. After all, Haman declared the death decree on the 13th of Nisan to be executed on the 13th of Adar. When two men approached Moses because they were unclean during the time of the Passover, Moses got down on his knees and asked God, what should we do? And God says, have them celebrate it the next month. Just make sure that they're doing it on the same dates. 13th, 14th, or the 14th and the 15th. As an aside, what is the day of the year in the Jewish calendar that the lamb is selected for the Passover?
The 13th.
No. The 10th day of the first month. The lamb represents the mercy of God taking our place, right? So that is one side of the Son of God, his mercy. What happens on the 10th day of the 7th month? That is the Day of Atonement. That represents Christ in judgment. That is another side of the Son of God. Those are 6 months apart. The earth travels around the sun in 12 months and sees two different sides of the same sun. Do you see that? The 10th day of the first month, mercy. That's selecting the Lamb of God. The 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement. Justice, mercy, kiss. Two sides of the same sun. The 7-day feast of Tabernacles is a 7-day feast where they eat unleavened bread. And it starts on the 15th and goes to the 22nd of the 7th month. The feast of unleavened bread is the same dates, except it's in the first month.
6 months.
So it's the same dates. Do you see how the dates matter? Because why do the dates matter? It has to do with the moon. It has to do with the moon, okay? So, let's see if the theory is right. Could it be that the provinces which rest on the 14th take on the characteristics of the 14th of Nisan? And that the Jews in Shushan, which rest on the 15th, take on the characteristics of the 15th? Let's see if that's the case. And my supposition is that that is the case. That's the reference for the Jews that couldn't keep the Passover. That's Numbers 9, 6 to 14. Remember, provinces resting on the 14th, Shushan resting on the 15th. Can we tell a lot about a people on the day that they rest? Let's see. Let's see what happens. I believe that Shushan is representative of the 144,000. Because they are battling while the rest are resting. These are resting in Christ, in the grave. They have already battled. They have already gotten their reward. They rest. While they are resting, while the dead in Christ are resting, after the close of probation, the 144,000 are still going. Do you understand? Okay, let's see if that resolves. Let's see if what. So, let's look at the 14th versus the 15th of Nisan. Okay? Remember, the 14th, I'm saying, represents the provinces, represent the dead in Christ. The 15th, Shushan, represents the 144,000. If you look at Jewish tradition, if you look at what went on with Christ, on the 14th, all final leaven is to be removed out of the house to be burned later that day in the morning. What are they trying to do? They're getting rid of leaven. They're getting rid of
sin.
That's justification and
sanctification.
Are they sanctified?
Yes.
Not yet.
Not yet.
They're in the process. By the way, what's very interesting is on the 14th, that's Thursday night dinner. Who had Thursday night dinner?
Last Supper.
Last Supper. It is tradition that at that Last Supper, they are to try to find the leaven to be destroyed before noon the next morning. Can you tell me somebody at that Last Supper that went out and was destroyed before noon the next morning?
Judas.
And there's 10 pieces of leaven, and they're looking for those 10 pieces with a candle. What does the candle represent?
Word of God.
The Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, which leads you to where your sin is to get rid of it. This is the 14th. Is the moon full yet? Oh, the 10 pieces?
No.
The 10 sons of Haman?
The next night.
Maybe. We'll see. Is the moon full yet on the 14th?
No.
Is the moon... I won't say it yet. We'll get to that. Judas leaves the Last Supper and hangs himself later than the morning. Okay, lamb is sacrificed at 3 p.m. Jesus is crucified at 3 p.m. Paschal lamb is slain and roasted. Jesus is buried. So the key here I want you to learn with the 14th and the provinces is that people are in the process of getting rid of sin. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the 15th.
In the process.
Right.
Oh, I
On the 15th, should there be any leaven anywhere?
No.
It's gone. It's gone. There's no leaven. It's gone. Okay? Does this sound familiar? Adventist theology that was discarded at Questions on Doctrine? Okay. Is all leaven gone? And it's gone for 7 days. Because the Feast of Unleavened Bread lasts for? How many plagues are there?
Seven.
How many days did it take Israel to go from the Passover to the Red Sea?
Seven.
How many days did Joshua march around Jericho?
Seven.
How many days did Noah in the ark after the close after the close of the door?
Seven.
These are pages laying over one on the other. Let's just go through those real quick. Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days there is no sin. Just like we will be here on earth, but no longer under the power of sin, the Israelites were in Israel, but no longer under the power of Pharaoh. Do you see that? And when they came to the Red Sea, judgment came down, and Moses said to them, look at the Egyptians. Today you will see, after today you will see their faces no more. Do you see that? Now let's go to Jericho. Who represents us in the story of Jericho?
Rahab.
Exactly. Exactly. And what does she have out her window?
Four.
Representing the? And she had faith. And what did the two spies say before they left? If anybody be in your house and they die, let their blood be on us. If anyone is outside of their house, let their blood be on
them.
Who led the children of Israel around Jericho for those 7 days?
Joshua.
Who really led? Who did Joshua bump into right before?
Jesus.
He saw this guy. He didn't know who is this guy. He was ready to battle him, and he found out that it was the Lord of hosts. Do you see this? Do you see this paging over and over and over again? So, what is this? Their sin is gone. So it's all there. Noah, death angel, Red Sea, Joshua, seven last plagues. Page on page on page. This is the 144,000. The Passover meal is already eaten. Now, check this out. Is the moon full?
Yes, on the 15th.
On the 15th, at what time did the death angel come?
At midnight.
The moon on the 15th at midnight is the fullest and the highest that it will ever be. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
So are you, on the fourth day of creation, which showed its face first to the earth? The moon or the sun?
The moon.
The lesser light, fully reflecting the source. Who came first, John the Baptist or Jesus Christ?
John the Baptist.
Who was the lesser light?
John the Baptist.
You see it? What does Ellen White say? Watch what Ellen White says. Many do not realize. What is she talking about? This is amazing, folks. Many do not realize what they must be in order to live in the sight of the Lord without a high priest in the sanctuary through the time of trouble. What's she talking about? Those who receive the seal of the living God and are protected in the time of trouble must reflect the image of Jesus fully. Who created the moon?
Jesus.
Who created the 15th? Who created Ellen White?
Yes.
It's all there. Okay?
That's beautiful. How could we reject something like
this?
You can read on in Maranatha 255. It's just amazing. Now, when the Jews take out the leaven out of their house, they have this card so they can read it. And every time they do it, this is what they read. This is an actual picture of what they read. It says, note, the ceremonial search for shametz, that's the leaven, is customarily performed by a candlelight on the night before the Passover Seder. This is Thursday night. Okay, Thursday night, the night of Christ's death. A feather and a spoon are often used to sweep the last crumbs of bread, which will then be burned the following morning. Blessed are you, O Lord, our King, God of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commandments and commanded us regarding the removal of shemas. That's the first covenant. Where did Christ say he was going to put his law? Is there any question in your mind about last generation theology?
So this is a ceremonial law, and yet this is all applied.
I don't believe in keeping the feasts. But I believe that if we look at the feast, it can tell us enormous amounts. We haven't even gotten to the best part.
So until the nails is a celebration, but not its validity.
Correct. All right. Now, you need to know this. You need to understand that when the Day of Atonement comes in 1844, what did the children of Israel do when they came around the temple? They had to afflict their souls, search their souls for sin, get rid of sin, because judgment was going to occur, and nobody was going to be in the sanctuary to atone for that sin. Now, watch this. Here we're going to go to another book with different pages of transparency. Watch this. Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Who is there with him?
Moses.
And remember the disciples wanted to build?
A tent.
Exactly. So each one of them had their own Mount of Transfiguration. Moses on Mount Sinai and Elijah on Mount Carmel. Okay? In either of these places, all of these places, there was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Remember, there was a cloud around the disciples that they couldn't see. Remember that Moses was on the top of Mount Sinai, there was a fire. Remember that Elijah on Mount Carmel came down and there was a fire. And I can confirm this because Ellen White says that when the fire came down, it resembled the fire over the sanctuary that the Israelites saw in the desert. That is Holy Spirit. Each one of these checks out. Jesus comes down to find three types of disciples. If you remember, Peter, James, and John went up with Christ and saw it, and as they're coming down, Christ says, "Psh, don't tell anybody." And the other disciples that were left were jealous of the other three. They were in disharmony, and they weren't unable to cast out the demon. And Christ comes down, and he's kind of fed up with them. He says, "How long will I put up with you, unbelief?" And he takes out the demon, and they say, "How did you do this? Where did we go wrong? Why couldn't we do this?" And as it turns out, he tells them it's because of their unbelief. He says, if you have faith, you can move mountains. If you say you want it to be over there, it'll be over there. The three types of disciples are the three that were with Christ in faith, and the other two is those that weren't but finally became so, and the third one is those who weren't and never came around. Judas. Okay? Now, what happens on Mount Sinai? Moses comes down from the mount and also finds three groups of people. He finds the sons of Levi, who were faithful to begin with. He finds everybody else who converts back over, except those, the third group, who never gets it. And what happens to that? So what happened to Judas? Destroyed. What happens to the rebellious? Destroyed. Elijah at Mount Carmel. We'll come back to that. Elijah at Mount Carmel. Elijah comes down, and what does he find? There's actually three groups of people, believe it or not. There are the priests of Baal and the priests of Ashtoreth. And there are everybody else. Everybody else converts over, they kill them. But remember, Elijah never thought that there was never anybody that actually bowed the knee, that didn't bow the knee. God tells him later, I've got 7,000 reserved in Israel who never bowed the knee. So there's actually three groups of people. Those, again, that never bowed the knee, those that did but repented, and those that did and never repented. Same three people. Do you see the transparency? It's the same thing over again. Now, watch. What is the animal that people were bowing down to when Moses came down from the mountain? A golden calf or a bullock? What is the animal that was sacrificed on top of? Exactly. Let's go to Esther. Esther is our next transparency. We have a problem with Esther. After Esther and her bizarre request, we find three groups of people. We have the Jews, we have those that have become Jews, and we have the rebellious. They are also destroyed. So it's exactly the same, right? But what are we missing? There's no bullock, and there's no manifestation of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What's the problem? Well, there's nothing, but Christ is the bullock, right? Isn't Christ the bullock? Now, what is the significance of the bullock? Let me tell you. Let me back up a little bit. So think this in mind. Can any man who has sinned stand in the presence of God?
No.
Okay. Do we have any examples in the Bible where a man who was born into sin did stand in the presence of God and survived? Do we have another one? Do we have one that happened every single year?
Yes, the high priest.
Exactly. So what is the thing that the high... So here's the thing. The model must be that we, if we are to stand in the presence of God, we must be like high priests. And by the way, in Ivor Meyer's wonderful lecture on the sanctuary. Where is the Seventh-day Adventist Church in church history?
In the Holy Sepulchre.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So therefore, we need to be in there. Yes. Question. In Leviticus 16, what are the two things that the high priest must at pain of his life, carry in with him into the most holy place.
Incense.
Incense and the?
The blood.
The blood of what?
A
bullock. The blood of a bullock.
So we can't be without him.
So, who is Christ? The bullock. Manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Bullock, manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Bullock, manifestation of the Holy Spirit. No bullock, no Holy Spirit.
Where's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the Transfiguration?
There was this cloud that came out. There's this cloud and they could not see. And you know that when you go into the most holy place, yes, the purpose of that incense is to... Exactly. So this is the cloud, the fire. Remember the cloud by day?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whether that cloud is by evaporated water or if that cloud is by incense, it's still a cloud.
Yeah.
Okay. So watch this. Keep that in mind. Esther has no bullock, no Holy Spirit. It's a problem, right? Now, this is really important. Let's go to Malachi. And this is a whole nother lecture I'd love to give sometime. I'll just put it out there. I believe that Handel's Messiah was divinely inspired. The texts in Handel's Messiah are explicitly Day of Atonement. This is from Handel's Messiah. You could probably sing it if you heard it. The Lord whom he seeks shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. This is, by the way, Ellen White says this is Day of Atonement. This is describing the Day of Atonement. Now watch this. Remember the three groups of people? Remember we're living in the Day of Atonement. Watch what she says here. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom he seek shall suddenly come to his temple. That's 1844. Even the messenger of the covenant whom he delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who shall stand when he appeareth? Is this second coming or is this first coming? This is second coming. Everybody could stand when Jesus came the first time. Who's going to be able to stand when he comes the second time? Now watch what he says. For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of what?
Silver.
And he, here's the key. By the way, which are the people that didn't bow down to the... They're Levites. He shall purify the sons of... and purge them as gold and silver. That is how we, as the sons of Levi, are going to be able to stand in the presence of God. But Esther has no Holy Spirit and it has no... problem. This is Leviticus 16 where I get it from. Okay? Let's review. The deliverance of the Jews in Shushan on the 15th of Adar is a type of 144,000. Is there more evidence? What's missing? Bullock, manifestation of the Holy Spirit, purifying the sons of Levi. We don't have any of those things. What is necessary for a mortal to stand in the presence of God according to Leviticus 16? If you're the high priest, you need the blood of... Are we supposed to be high priests?
Yes.
Blood of a bullock to sprinkle seven times. How many times did Haman need to dip before he was purified?
Seven.
Manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? It's 10 sons of Haman. This is amazing. 10 sons of Haman is the only place that is listed in the Masoretic text vertically. It is read at the festival of Purim each Adar 14. By the way, Shushan versus provinces. Shushan had a wall around it. Tell me, will the 144,000 have a wall around them? It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
The only place that it's vertical, this is how it's listed. And it's read by all present. When they read the Megillah is the whole book of Esther. When they read it, there are four places in the reading of the Megillah where everybody must read along with the rabbi because it has to do with redemption. There is a change in the story. One of those places is where they say, and there was a Jewish man by the name of Mordecai who lived in Shushan. Because without him, the rest of Esther wouldn't have happened, right? So these are changes in the story. However, when they come to reading the 10 sons of Haman, none of that is there. These are dead bodies hanging on a pole. But they still read it all together. And more than that, they all read it in one breath. They read the 10 sons of Haman. This is the actual Hebrew. They're the bad guys. And this has been done ostensibly for 2,500 years. And if you ask a Jewish rabbi why they do it, they have theories about it. In fact, I have a reason here. We'll show you. So here are the 10 sons of Haman. Okay? Written in Hebrew. Now, they're actually Persian names, but they're written down in Hebrew. So it's kind of like if you had a guy named Tin from Asia, you would write it down as 10, but 10 means something in our language, but maybe not in his language. You understand what I'm saying? So these are Hebrew words that have meaning. Are you ready for this? And by the way, how would you, when you speak sentences, do you usually say things in one breath?
No.
Yes?
Yes.
If you say a sentence, don't you read in one breath?
Yes. Okay.
Unless you're really short of breath, then you should be seeing me in the clinic, right? Okay. I'm just saying, they're saying this over and over again for 2,500 years. They're saying it in one breath. They don't know why they have to say it, but they say it. So, I'm going to put their actual names there in English. So there's Parsha Dana. Can we all say it in one breath? Let's try it. Deep breath. Parsha Datha, Delphon, Aspatha, Paratha, Adalia, Eridatha, Parmashatha, Erisai, Eridai, Vajdatha. There, you did it. Okay? Now, let's take standard Bible dictionaries that have been around for hundreds of years that are not Adventist dictionaries that are in the mainstream, and let's look up those words. Some of them don't have any definition. Some of them do. And let's see what they mean. Ready? Parshadatha means given by prayer. Delphon means rain. Aspatha means gathering of men like the harvest and protect. Paratha means fruitful. Adalia means draw up. Eridatha means harvest and new and noble birth. Parmashta means yearling bull. Erisai means lion-like. Eridai means the lion is enough, excellent, and worthy. And Vajdatha means sprinkling the chamber, purify, and white. Now, let's take those words and let's put them together into a sentence. And it may be something like this. Now, before we read it, this is a message from Esther to the people in Shushan. What's our typology? A message from Jesus to the
144 to the people of God.
Given by prayer, the rain shall gather men like the harvest, protect them, and they shall be fruitful. For he will draw up the harvest and give a new and noble birth to them. For he is a yearling bull, but is also like a lion, as in the seven seals. And he is enough, excellent, worthy to sprinkle the chamber, purify them, and make them white.
Oh, wow.
Amen. So the 10 sons were in a way sacrificed?
They rose up against the Jews and were killed. It's just their bodies that were hung in this order.
And but there were his sons, so does it matter which is the oldest or youngest? Or
that's how they were listed.
But and this goes back to how they were named by their mother and father. They had no knowledge of any of this, mm-hmm. or did they?
Here's the message. Christ controls everything. Christ is in control.
Even the name.
So is this meaning in Hebrew?
This is the English, yes. This is Hebrew meaning.
Now who turned that into a sentence? You?
I did. These are the actual, and I have references for all of this.
Else in
no.
The whole world has put
never.
This, together?
This has never been
okay,
seen.
We're in the presence of someone amazing.
No. Yes, you are.
That is amazing that you piece it all together.
I'm a little confused about the bullock and the Holy Spirit missing from Ezra. Is this to take place of it? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is it's not missing. It's hidden.
The bull is there. Yeah. Okay. It's listed.
Now watch.
The words are there.
Yes.
But the action was in the hanging or in the impaling of the 10 sons?
It's there. And
they
it's,
were the bullets.
They're just there. The names are there. The message is there. The message was hidden.
But it was given through that
correct.
Action.
Correct.
Oh.
And in the order that it went.
Roger.
Yes.
The Jews have all of this information.
Yes.
However, Christ is the bullet.
Correct.
Do they recognize Christ as
of course not.
The Jews don't.
No. They are forbidden for reading Isaiah 52 and 53.
The
70-week prophecy.
Yes.
Yes. That's Walter Veit. You're right. Now, watch this. So here's the thing, right? We've already seen that. Gallows. It's in Shushan only. It supplies the bullock. Given by prayer, the rain shall gather men like the harvest. What's the only rain before the harvest? It's the latter rain. Given by prayer, the latter rain shall... So where is this coming from?
The Holy Spirit.
But what sets all of this off?
Well, Esther.
Esther's prayer.
What's at the very top?
Prayer.
Given by prayer. What is the biggest... And the devil knows this. What is the biggest issue right now in the church?
Confusion about prayer.
Yes.
Contemplative prayer.
Why do you think that is? Because he knows it's coming. It's coming very soon. So the question is how should we be praying for the latter rain? Now watch this. This is amazing. Okay? Watch this. Before we get to this, I'm going to show you, this is actually on a video. This is Rabbi Levi Kaplan. I want to show you what he says about the 10 sons of Haman, okay? He says, there are four places in the Megillah where the congregants join the reader, and those four places are areas that talk about redemption, those spots that mark a change, something great that happens, something that ushers in the victory, redemption, salvation of the Jewish people at that time. And here are the texts. He says, however, this is not the case when we talk about the 10 sons of Haman. Obviously, right? Yeah. So why is it that the 10 sons of Haman are recited by the congregation?
Just and, ask Roger.
Well, no, he says the rabbi goes on to give some scholarly, not so scholarly. He says, finally, he says, this is probably the reason why. And this is a quote of him. Reading the 10 sons in one breath is something that every person must experience on their own. We can't fulfill our obligation, so to speak, by having someone else breathe for us. We have to recite the names of Haman's children in one breath of ours. Just as we can't appoint someone else to fill in for us, we can't hire a proxy to breathe for us. So too, with the reading of the Megillah, we have to experience the reading of the names in one breath.
Wow.
This is what he's saying.
Amazing. But yet he doesn't believe in Jesus Christ.
So watch this.
Wait, one more thing.
Yes. Yes.
You know, since the gallows kind of represents the Sunday law,
yes.
The fact, could it be that the fact that these 10 men are put on it represents...
It's very interesting that it's put on the 14th when the 144,000 are still battling and everyone else is resting, because that's going to be the issue. It's the gallows that comes up that they want to use to kill Mordecai.
Yeah.
It's the one that causes Babylon to fall, and it makes its appearance at the end. This cameo appearance cannot be underestimated. You're absolutely right.
But also, they had victory over that Sunday law.
That's correct.
The 144,000 did not, you know, comply with that Sunday law.
Correct.
And so they receive the sealing.
That's correct.
And which is the blood, and that's through the blood.
Yes.
And the prayers.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit.
Exactly. Now,
do you know what the significance is of the one breath? Why did they have to...
I think it is because it was a sign. They've been doing this for 2,500 years. Mm-hmm. To me, it's a sign that this should be taken as a sentence.
Mm-hmm. As a whole thought.
But no one ever made
the meaning of the names are what you did.
Right. Well, I mean, no.
Crazy.
I have no theological training, okay? So maybe there's a significant... That's who it is. That's who it is, yes.
It's crazy that not one single soul has done it in 2,000 years.
Do you want to know the truth?
Yeah.
There's a lot more gold in those fields.
Amazing.
This is just Esther is just the only book I've studied. If you go to Ruth, I'm sure you'll find something else. Mm-hmm. If you go to...
Because every story is
prophecy. It's there. That's why, remember, and if we go back to the quotes at the very beginning, it'll become obvious. Maybe we didn't pick it up, but when Ellen White says that a casual reading of the surface is not, you've got to dig down, every word, every prophecy fulfills another prophecy, every word fulfills another word.
It's like a puzzle.
Now, this is the key. Now watch this. This is the best part, okay? Because we're talking about how we should be praying for the latter rain, and there's a lot of misinformation out there about how we should be praying and contemplative prayer. And I think this will settle the issue without any question. Who is the only man that prayed for rain?
Elijah.
Watch. Do Seventh-day Adventists have the Elijah message?
Yeah.
Does Elijah represent the 144,000?
Yes.
Because he was translated directly to heaven without seeing death.
Yeah.
Okay? Was he taken care of in the wilderness by ravens?
Yes.
Did he give a message about follow God, but if not, follow Baal?
Yes.
Choose one way or the other?
Yeah.
Isn't that our message?
Yes.
Did he pray for the rain?
Yes.
Is it possible that the way he prayed for the rain on Mount Carmel is exactly the way we ought to pray for the rain of the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
Wouldn't it have been wonderful to be a fly on the wall or on the mountain listening to how Elijah prayed for the rain? By the way, how many times did he pray for the rain?
Seven.
How many times did Naaman have to, Naaman?
Yes. Yeah.
Naaman, not Haman, Naaman, have to, exactly. So here's Elijah, here's the manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming down and consuming the bullock. Now watch this, this is 1 Kings 8, 41-44. Let's see if we can get out of this how we should pray for the latter rain. Okay? And Elijah said to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain." There was not a drop. Yet he heard it. He had faith. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel, and he cast himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And I searched long and hard, but I found an example where that was the case. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look towards the sea." And when he went up and he looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chair." All he needed was a little cloud, and that was enough to say, "Ahab, you better get down, otherwise you're not going to make it down."
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Was there anything there about how he prayed?
On his knees.
Between his knees.
He prayed on his knees with his head between his knees, yes. Did he pray with faith?
Yes.
Incessantly and with prayer. Now, what day are we living in? Ellen White says that if we knew how to study the Bible, she wouldn't even be necessary.
Yeah.
So let's think about this. Do we know how to study the Bible now? Maybe a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit?
Yeah.
How do you think we're supposed to pray for the latter rain? Are we supposed to concentrate on a word over and over and over and over and over again? How do you, what is the prescribed way? What did people do when they prayed on the Day of Atonement?
Fasting.
They fasted. There was what was it that was eaten? What was it that was eaten during those 7 days? Bitter herbs. Is there affliction involved?
Yes.
Is this, are we supposed to be feeling good during this time?
No.
Are we supposed to be inwardly searching ourselves?
Yes.
And it's very close. Think how close, because yoga, aren't you also inwardly searching?
Uh-huh.
But what are we supposed to be looking for? It's a different purpose. See how the devil wants you in the holy place. God wants you in the most holy. Do you see how close this is?
Yes.
This is so close. And this is why the devil, I believe, this is why the counterfeit is going out. And what does he say about the counterfeit? The counterfeit, the false revival will precede the true.
And we are told to meditate on Jesus.
Correct. Okay? Correct.
What are they telling us to
on
meditate?
Nothing.
Yeah. And they're putting us to look within ourselves to reach that power that
in
we
you.
Need in you.
So wouldn't it be nice to be a fly on the wall, as I said, right? Guess what? Guess what? Jesus took Ellen White in vision next to Elijah as he prayed.
Amen.
And she wrote it down. Are you ready to hear what she said? God took Ellen White in vision. And this is not in Patriarchs and Prophets. This is not in Steps to Christ. This is not in Christ's Object Lessons. This is in an article in the Review and Herald that you may not have even known about. But it is in this article that Ellen White, in exquisite detail, describes exactly how Elijah prayed for the rain. Question, do you think that has something to do with us?
Yes.
Are you ready to see it?
Yeah.
That's the reference. Watch. Before the sacrifice, Elijah had said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." After the destruction of the prophets of Baal, Elijah said to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." After the king's departure, Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between the knees. When he had bidden Ahab to go up and drink, did he have evidence that the showers were about to fall?
No.
Did he see the clouds in the heavens?
No.
Did he see the rain or hear the thunder?
No.
That's the first clue. So when we pray for the latter rain, should we go in knowing that we're going to be answered or waiting for evidence?
Knowing.
No, he spoke these words because of the Spirit of the Lord moved on his mind and led him to believe that his prayer would be heard. He had done all that was possible to make manifest his faith, and now he began to pray for the outpouring of the abundance of rain. Are you ready now?
Yeah.
Here we go. He said to the servant, "Go up now and look towards the sea." And he went up, and he looked and said, "There is nothing." And he says, "Go again seven times." The servant watched while Elijah prayed. Six times he returned from the watch saying, "There is nothing. No cloud, no sign of rain." But the prophet did not give up in discouragement. He kept reviewing his life to see where he had failed to honor God. He confessed his sins and thus continued to afflict his soul. What's that word?
Afflict.
Is that Day of Atonement language?
Yes.
Before God, while watching for a token that his prayer was answered. Is that me? You know, there we go. As he searched his heart, you actually know what that is? That's a Sabbath app. It goes off 15 minutes before the Sabbath. So there you go. Sabbath is going to close in 15 minutes. As he searched his heart, he seemed to be less and less. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
As he searched his heart, he seemed to be less. This is completely diathetical, antithetical to other religions.
Yes.
There is a God in you.
Yes.
Self-esteem.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
In both in his own estimation and in the sight of God, it seemed to him that he was nothing and God was everything.
Amen.
And then when he reached the point of renouncing self while he clung to the Savior as his only strength and righteousness, the answer came.
Beautiful.
Do you know somebody else who did this? Jacob. I heard it back there. Jacob. Jacob's time of trouble. The servant appeared and said, "Behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." He says, "Go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass that in the meanwhile, that in the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rose and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. Now, a couple more slides and then we'll finish. But I want to read what Ellen White says right after this, because I believe that what she says right after this has a lot to do with us today. Imagine as I read this, that Ellen White is standing here right here, and she's reading this, or even Jesus himself. This is right after this in Review and Herald. There are many lessons to be drawn from the experience of Israel and the prophet of God. We are living in a time of apostasy similar to the time to which we have read. For there is a great religious declension in the churches among the professed people of God. The children of God should have a realization of their accountability and should direct their hearts toward God, seeking for strength and grace with an earnestness which they have never before manifested. There was never a more solemn time in the history of the world than the time in which we are now living. Our eternal interests are at stake. We should arouse to the importance of making our calling and election sure. We dare not risk our eternal interests on mere probabilities. We must be earnest. What we are, what we are doing, what is to be our course of action in the future. All are questions of untold moment, and we cannot afford to be listless, indifferent, or unconcerned. It becomes each one of us to inquire, what is eternity to me? Are our feet in the path that leads to heaven, or on the broad road that leads to perdition? Closing here. All around us, the world is listen to this. She's writing this over 100 years ago. All around us, the world is manifesting intense activity. There is a feeling of apprehension among all people. They are looking for some great event, but know not what it is to be. The state of affairs in Europe excites men's fears. And all are looking for those things that shall come upon the earth, and their hearts are failing them for fear. The nations are filled with anxiety, and there is a spirit of unrest and tumult on every hand. If ever there was a time when men should know their position, it is now. No man can afford to go blindfolded, not knowing in what road he is traveling, but careless and hoping to come out right in the end. For great and disastrous will be his awakening. Those who do not appreciate eternal life enough to work diligently for it will never obtain it. Those who are seeking earthly pleasure, world gain, and honor will never make a success of winning eternal life unless they repent and turn to God with all their hearts. She goes on. That's not it. So if you want to read the rest of that article, you could look that up in Ellen White's writings on the app. So this is the plan of salvation. I love this picture for two reasons. One, because it shows the dichotomy. Also, because there are two angels next to Christ. These are real angels in heaven. And here is Esther, supported by two people in front of God the Father. This is a parallelism. So that, I believe, is the revelation of Esther.
And
the two angels.
They represent
the angels. We don't know who it is. It's just the painter's thing. And that is it.
Wow. Amazing. That's an understatement.
Yes.
Amazing.
There is things in Esther that I have not fully figured out. There's a whole chapter 10 where they confirm, and Esther makes another covenant to confirm that people will keep both the 14th and the 15th. Jews today just keep the 14th because they don't live in a walled city.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's an interesting point.
No,
yeah. Hold on. Yeah.
Could you hit the light?
Go ahead.
The Jews do have a way of finding out whether there was an extra month on a certain year.
Yes.
They do. And I will
at some after Christ, they went to an automatic way. The way they would do it before was, again, looking for signs of spring. If they didn't find it, they would add an extra month.
Yeah. Because they do believe in that they still keep the moons and the yes. all that stuff, the
yeah.
Jews and the Santa Jews. And they actually have a way through NASA
yes.
to go down and see if what exactly in a certain day, a certain year,
yeah.
that far, where the moon was. So most likely they'll be able to tell you whether that
474 BC yeah.
was one or two
right.
in that year.
Very good. Question?
When it talks in Esther in the beginning chapters, it talks about they're on the palace floor. They mention the
there's
red,
colors.
Red.
Yes.
And then it says blue and white.
Yes.
And it's red, white, and blue, and black.
Yes. You want to know something that's very interesting about that? Is for years they said this Esther must have been written, but when they actually got to the Temple of Shushan and excavated, the description in Esther matched perfectly what they found. And they realized that whoever wrote the Book of Esther must have had very intimate knowledge of the goings on of the court.
But if you look at it, it's red, white, and blue, which is America. And I guess
true, true. But these are also the same colors that were used in the sanctuary.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Why don't we do this since people want to eat? I'm sure. Why don't we want to give a closing prayer and then
sure.
we can and then if you have questions, I will be happy to take them afterwards.
Okay. Go ahead. Ferguson, you want to pray for us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege you've given us to be called sons and daughters of yours.
Amen.
Lord, we've seen throughout history that every time it seems like this world is going to fall apart, you send us a messenger. In our day, we don't know who the messenger will be. But sometimes we hear that old men will see visions, or young men will dream dreams and the young will see the visions. Lord, we ask you to bless Roger as
Amen.
He continues to study and to show us the words that you are revealing to him. And may he use this, Lord, to help expand and to reveal your to help prepare us for these end times.
Amen.
And that we know because of these revelations that he is revealing to us from your scripture, there will be others who will come against him and against us who believe it. Lord, give us hope, give us assurance that you are with us until the end. In Jesus' name, Amen.
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 All right,
so
yes.
For coming. So it's
you
very
mentioned
simple.
Jesus
it's
was crucified at 3,
and
but I understood
there,
he was crucified
so
at 9, and he hung between earth
the ninth
and,
hour,
right.
which starts at 6. I'm sorry, yeah.
Sorry,
yeah,
Roger,
yeah.
you yeah. want to come back here, and then whoever wants to...
I'll be here, yeah, I'll be here, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's fruit, there's...
He hung for 6 hours, which for every 1,000 years that the
oh,
world...
Oh, could be.
But it says that he was taken and hung. He was actually crucified at 9 a.m. and then died at 3 a.m.
Correct. Correct, yes. So he died at the time of the evening sacrifice. Yes, 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 yes.
But I mean, we were reading into... I don't know where I came across that, but it was like... He didn't hang for Sabbath. He slept in the tomb for Sabbath.
Absolutely.
So for 6 centuries,
for 6 hours, every millennium.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yes.
Another prayer would be Christ at the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
So that could be
that's true. That it, oh, you mean on that thing that I had up there? Yes, because there was a...
Elijah,
yes.
Jacob,
Gethsemane.
And Christ in the Gethsemane. And he had the two ahead of him as examples.
Right.
Because
Peter and James and John.
Because he kept going back and praying.
Right, coming back and praying, right.
Kept going back and praying.
And the manifestation of the Holy Spirit there was, he came and he was fortified and he was ready.
Right.
But there was blood
yeah.
coming down from his face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yes, yes.
In your
diagrams of the months. You didn't put in the 7. You started with the 8.
I was concentrating on the 12-1 transition. That's all.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you put a 7th one?
I was just taking running with it and saying when you come up to the 12, and the next month is the first, the first month. Well, when you do the thing on the top, that 13th goes over. The 13th lines up with the first. That's all I was showing. Yeah. Okay. Obviously, there's a 7th and a 6th and a 5th. I just ran out of room.
Right.
Yeah.
Why would they use, with the sun's innocent, why would they use the sun's as
a No, the sun's were the ones that came against the Jews. They organized it.
So why would they use them?
Well, you also remember that there are 10 kingdoms. There are 10 kings in Revelation. Maybe. Right? These kings are given power for 20 minutes or something like that. Or 2 weeks or something. I can't remember. Right? So, yeah. Oh, okay, I'll get it there. I'll go over there. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And then it'll come through.
Yes.
There's a time period, 6 months, it's the same, it's the same degree.
Right. So,
it's just like when
so this, that's probably not, yeah.
Given.
Yes. You're talking about Cestius versus Titus, right? 1888 versus,
no.
Oh, okay.
When Jerusalem was founded.
Yes. By Cestius or by Titus? Cestius.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Titus came back later.
Yes.
But that gave the Jews
a chance. Correct.
Leave.
Yes.
Okay. Is there a chance?
No, I can't find one. In Esther there? I can't find one.
With the 2 days?
No. I can't find one. It could be. It could be. I see what you're saying, that the first banquet may have been Cestius because nothing happened, but the second banquet could be Titus, because something did happen and Haman fell. It's possible. It's possible. It could be. Yeah. Yeah. It's possible. It's possible. I don't know. It's just that the thing with typologies is that sometimes you can have more than one interpretation. So long as it fits everything else that we know, it's valid. Yeah. It's interesting. Yes, you had a question. Oh yeah. Let's see. We should get a piece of paper and maybe write down the email list and. Yeah, so just for email so they could I can mail the PowerPoint presentation. Yeah. Oh, if you go to ceilingtimeministry.com, it's on there. Ceiling. Oh, okay, yeah. It's SEALING. Ceiling, not that ceiling. Yeah. A ceiling time, like, you know, the seal. Yeah.
Ceilingtimeministry.com, it's on there.